There's a big difference in just coming to church and having church. So what do you say? Let's have church tonight. We come to church, but why don't we have church? Praise the Lord. We appreciate all of you being here. Good to see so many of our preacher friends, Brother Lewis, Brother William Lewis and his dear wife, Brother Christie and a lot of his church people. Appreciate them. Brother Johnny, his dear family. Brother Johnny, I can feel your pain now, brother. I didn't lose two at one time, but I did lose my little sweetheart daughter. Brother Johnny, I know you can relate to this. I stepped out having to walk down that aisle. I was just praying, Lord, help me make it down that aisle. But the Lord helped me, and I appreciate it. My birthday was August the 12th. I'm not saying that, to get you to give me a birthday present, because I know that's history. But they got married on the 13th. So I guess I got me a son-in-law for my birthday, whether I wanted one or not. Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate you being here, and it's a blessing to be here with Brother and Sister Finley. Appreciate them, love them, and all of the church people here. Appreciate you so very much. I'd like to read in the book of Matthew chapter 3. God bless you. Thank you for your giving. May the Lord just return it to you many, many fold. Appreciate the Clugstons, our dear friends, opening up their home, allowing me to stay with them. Appreciate that. Sister Ginger had us a wonderful meal tonight. We appreciated that so very much. And, praise the Lord. God is good. And now, I don't know Dr. Joseph Chambers. I met him one time. And I know he's a real prophecy scholar. He's wrote several books. He's wrote a book on Revelation, the masterpiece. I've got a copy of it. And I know maybe even this audience tonight, there may be differences of belief about the coming of the Lord, but I believe he's coming. I believe he's coming. And, the way I understand the Bible, it could be tonight, might be tomorrow night, might be next week, might be next year, might be 50 years from now, but just keep your bags packed, keep your ticket in your hand, be standing at the depot. The train is coming in. Praise God. We're getting out of here. Amen. The Lord is coming. I believe that. Well, somebody told me here the other day, I was preaching at a little church up in Tocoa. They said that Brother Chambers prophesied. Now, I'm just telling you what I heard. This is just hearsay. He prophesied that Trump was going to be the next president. Now, I'm just telling you what I heard. I don't know. That's a big statement, isn't it? If you look at the popular opinion polls, I know it certainly don't look like that's going to be the case. But I'm telling you, the Lord's coming. And like Brother Lewis said, I'm ready to crown him king. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdoms of this world, the Bible tells us, shall become. And talks about a time when they have become. The kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Amen. He shall reign forever and ever. Amen. I want to be a part of that kingdom. And I believe we are a part of his kingdom already if we're born again, if we're saved, washed in the blood. We're a part of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 3, I'd like to read the first 12 verses. And also one verse. Well, I'd like to take my text tonight out of Hebrews 12 and verse 29. This is really a two-part message. So, if the Lord's willing, I might preach the second part tomorrow night. I don't know, but whatever the Lord's will is, but I'm trusting it's his will for me to preach this tonight. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know when. I have in the past, I have preached on this subject. But I don't know, it's been a long time. I'm just, God dealt with me here about a week or so ago concerning these two messages, and especially this one tonight. Matthew chapter 3, I covet your prayers, beginning at verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region of Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Notice this. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Notice that fire that he's speaking of. That's judgment fire. That's hell fire. But then, verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's a different fire. The Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Another mention of fire, but again, this is judgment fire. This is hell fire. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then over in Hebrews 12 and verse 29, just a short verse of Scripture. We could quote it together, but we'll turn. You have your Bible, Hebrews 12 and 29. This is my text tonight. For our God is a consuming fire. Desire your prayers tonight as Brother Finley, he would lead us in prayer. I want to use as my text tonight and my thought for this message, consumed with the fire or by the fire. One or the other is going to be our experience. Consumed with the fire or consumed by the fire. I'm talking about this God is a consuming fire. John, amen, there in our scripture reading in Matthew 3:11, He's the forerunner of Christ. Concerning Christ said, He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We can either be consumed with the fire of the Holy Ghost, with the flame of God's love and a devotion for Christ, or we will be consumed by the fire of God's judgment, by the fire of His wrath. It was Winston Churchill. I was reading a book recently, and it was concerning Mr. Bill Clinton, and I thought it was a very interesting quote in that book. Of course, the whole, you might say, in a nutshell, the whole gist of the book, they were blaming Clinton's preachers for his sin. Of course, we know, that everybody has to take responsibility for their own sin. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of lying preachers. Hell's going to be hot for them. There's a lot of deceiving preachers that are preaching a deceptive message. That America's in the condition she's in tonight a lot of the reason being the pulpit. I heard that great preacher. He's gone on to his reward. He said there'd have never been adultery in that White House if there wasn't first adultery in that pulpit. Right. But in that book, I don't remember the author's name, he said, Sir Winston Churchill said, if there was more hell in the pulpit, there would be less hell in the pew. Amen. Several years ago, another quote he gives, several years ago, Great Britain's Secretary of State for Education and Science, John Patton, argued that crime in the United Kingdom was rising because the fear of hell was declining. Crime was rising because the fear of hell was declining. Oh, God, would you help us tonight? Would you stand by our side and touch us? We need God's touch tonight. I'm telling you, hell fire is mentioned by Jesus. On numerous occasions, Jesus had a lot to say about hell, and I'm certainly not going to go through the Bible and mention everything that Jesus had to say, but just a few instances where Jesus mentioned hell fire and warned men concerning hell fire. In Matthew 5 and 30, he said, and if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. I mean, Jesus was speaking literally, that if you have a member that would offend, if it were possible for you to cut it off, then to end up in a place called hell. Jesus in Matthew 13, 41 and 42, he said, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 13, 49 and 50, again, Jesus said, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. One more place Jesus mentioned, Matthew 25 and 41, then shall he say to them, on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, consumed with the fire or by the fire. I'm telling you, church, we need revival. We need a move of God in America. That's America's only hope. Amen. Does not the scripture say that the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God? I'm telling you, he rained down fire and brimstone, literally rained hell out of heaven upon those sodomite cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. My Lord, church, they wasn't even given a license to marry one another like America's doing and saying now it's the law of the land. I mean, it's amazing the things that I get in the mail. I get bombarded. I'm sure you do as well. I get bombarded with things in the mail. But I got something the other day that's taking place. I just want to read to you. And before I know I'm doing a good bit of reading tonight, but I felt God lay this on my heart here just a few days ago. Been a long time since I preached on this forgotten place. Amen. This place that's unmentioned. I mean, here we are starting off revival, talking about a place called hell. And I'm telling you, there's a quote Leonard Ravenhill gives, and I was going to use it in the message tomorrow night, perhaps, if it be God's will. But I feel like mentioning it tonight. Leonard Ravenhill said, all mankind is walking a pathway of fire. He said the believer is headed to judgment fire, and the sinner is headed to hellfire. And because the church has lost Holy Ghost fire, millions go to hell fire. I know it'll take the Holy Ghost tonight to arrest our attention. I know this will just be another message. It'll go in one ear and out the other without the Holy Ghost makes it real. But my prayer is, God, would you make it real to us tonight? Would you somehow impress upon us the reality that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? That serving Christ is the best life there is. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ is going to last. I tell you, church, if we've ever meant business in serving God, now's the time. Yes, sir. That's what Mr. Winston Churchill was talking about. There's more fire in the pulpit, more hell in the pulpit. There'd be less hell in the pew. There'd be less men dropping off into hell. I'm telling you, the world wouldn't be in the condition. But men have lost the fear of God. I got this in the mail. Amen. This is the way the Lord's laid it on my heart. This is going to be one of my points in this message, but I'm rushing on ahead. I got this newsletter in the mail here the other day, Citizens United, and it was talking about no transgender bathrooms in Georgia, a petition. And then it gave these three incidents. I'm telling you, hell, no wonder hell's enlarging itself. Would you listen to this? An Oregon teacher who was born female, but then identified as male and then changed her mind to neither male nor female, but rather gender queer, won a $60,000 lawsuit because her coworkers refused to refer to her by her preferred pronoun of they. My God. That's the first case. The second incident, convicted traitor Bradley Manning, who fed military secrets to the website WikiLeaks. Anybody heard anything about WikiLeaks? Declared one day after his conviction that he always felt female, which scored him special protection in prison. Now we, the taxpayers, are footing the bill for his sex change. But listen, this one tops them all. I mean, this puts the icing on the cake. Listen to this. A 52-year-old married father of seven recently abandoned his family to fulfill his identity as a 6-year-old girl named Stephanie. However you pronounce that. He now says he's found an adoptive mommy and daddy who are totally comfortable with me being a little girl. The nationwide acceptance of homosexual marriage has helped open the floodgates for the spread of this immorality. I'm telling you, God, it stirred my heart here back last week. Amen. I stayed up into the wee hours of the morning, God dealing with my heart about preaching on this unsavory, unpopular, forgotten place called hell. We're either going to be consumed with the fire of the Holy Ghost, with the flame of God's love burning in our heart. The psalmist said, my heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. I tell you, we need more hot hearts even than we got hot heads, don't you think? We got a lot of hot heads, but we need some hot hearts. Hearts that are warm with the flame of God's Spirit. Hearts that are warm with the flame of God's divine love. The Bible said concerning this man, John the Baptist, that I read to you about, Jesus said he was a burning and a shining light. You were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. He was on fire, filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, and he burned before God, and he shone before men. They could see the glow of the radiant love that reflected upon his countenance. Lord, would you send
set our souls ablaze. My prayer tonight, God, amen, rekindle the flame of the Holy Ghost in every cold heart, in every lukewarm soul, amen, every unconcerned individual. My prayer tonight is a prayer of that old radio preacher. Lord, save the soul that's nearest hell tonight.
God, would you help us? Save that soul that's nearest hell. I think that was Oliver B. Green from Greenville, South Carolina. Used to come on the radio. Oh, God. That's one thing that always stood out with me. He'd always say that prayer, amen, in his benediction, in the closing prayer on the radio. Lord, save that soul that's nearest hell. That's our prayer tonight. I'm telling you, there's a fires of judgment. Amen. You remember Jesus said there was a certain rich man. There was a man named Lazarus. Amen. They both died. Yes, sir. And the angels came and escorted Lazarus into Abraham's bosom. Oh, that place of paradise. That place of rest. That place of comfort. That place, thank God, where all your troubles over, son. Hallelujah. Enter in. A crown of life you've won. Oh, we want to go, don't we? We want to go to the paradise of God. We want to go. It's no longer down in the heart of the earth as it was in Lazarus' day. Oh, but the rich man died. They may have had a royal ceremony. They may have had all the dignitaries in town, even in some compromise, deceiving preacher to get up and talk about how wonderful he was when he's screaming from the flames of hell. The Bible said in hell, he lifted up his eyes, even screaming from the torments. I'm tormented in this flame. I want to talk to us tonight about the flames of torment, even the fires of torment in hell. I am tormented. I believe one of the torments of hell, just like the rich man Jesus told about, will be the torment of memory. Remember, Abraham looked across that impassable gulf and told the rich man, remember, thou in thy lifetime, even you had your good things, and now you're tormented, but he's comforted, speaking of Lazarus. Oh, I'm telling you, the torment of memory. Amen. Remember how it used to be. Remember all the sins you committed. Amen. Remember all the wrongs you've done. That'll be one of the torments of hell. The torment of memory. As he remembers over and over. He remembers. Now he's suffering the consequences of a life of neglect. A life he forgot God. A life he turned his back on God. A life of selfishness. Even a life of unconcernedness toward his fellow man. And unconcernedness even toward serving God. I'm telling you, church, it's time we woke up and shook ourselves. Thank God of heaven. Amen. We're going to suffer the fires of torment. Amen. Unless we get the fire of the Holy Ghost burning in our soul. Once again. Amen. Right. We Lamb of God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. Notice also in the account of the rich man, it'll be the torment of lost opportunity. He'll remember every altar call. I should have ran to that altar that night. That preacher was preaching about being consumed with the fire or consumed by the fire. What a fool I was. Just a few feet, I could have come to the altar. I could have cried out to God for mercy. I felt God dealing with my heart, but I failed to pray. I'll be honest with you. I felt like a dirty dog, Brother Johnny Lewis, talking to one of my own family members. He brought it up. I never brought it up. He was talking about his stand on sodomites, homosexuals. He said, well, my stand is, you know what Jesus said, love the Lord thy God. He mentioned that verse, with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and body. Then the second, love thy neighbor as thyself. My brother, my dear brother said, he didn't say, love you straight neighbor. I love you gay neighbor. Love your Christian neighbor or your Muslim neighbor or your black neighbor or your white neighbor. I don't remember he He qualified it, you know, several different times there. I don't may not be quoting him verbatim. I said, yeah, that's right. I agree with that. Yes, sir. But I told him, Brother Johnny, I said, Jesus also said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus said, ye must be born again. My brother got angry with me. Amen. He was wanting to drop the subject. He said, oh, the Bible's full of contradiction. I said, no, sir. I'm sorry, there's some things I can't keep silent about. I want to be peaceable. I want to get along with people. I want to be agreeable. Let me tell you something, church. There's come a time. There's come a day, brother. Amen. God needs somebody to stand up for the truth. I told my brother, the Bible said, speaking the truth in love. Sure, we love them. Amen. But because we love them, we must tell them the truth. They're going to go to hell, brother, except they repent. He looked at me, oh, you mean to tell me they can't be born again? I sure, no, ma'am, I'm not telling you that. No, sir, I'm not telling you that. They can be born again, but if they get born again, amen, they'll be delivered from that lifestyle. Just about every family's got them. There may be some right here. Listen, this preacher ain't angry with you, but he's angry with the devil that's got you deceived. Amen. We want to sympathize with them and pat them on the back. Amen. And join the church and put them up to preach to us and everything. That's great, God of heaven. Oh, I'm telling you. Amen. God, would you send a Holy Ghost fire. Amen. To grip our hearts. Open our eyes. Wake us up. Cause us to realize where we're at tonight. My God. I'm telling you, it was a very uncomfortable feeling. I felt like a dirty dog. I was thinking, I may have not been as sweet as I need to be. I'll just be honest with you. I didn't want to show a bad spirit. No, I realized how, you know, he's come to hear me preach one time. I don't know if he'll ever be back again. I've been praying about calling him, maybe. You know, just take the low road and not apologize for what I said, because I believe I told him the truth. Amen. And I'm telling you, brother, it's sad the day we've come to. Amen. The torment of lost opportunity. Jesus told that rich man, he said, oh, why don't you send Lazarus back to warn my brothers not to come to hell? He told him, he said, they've got Moses and the prophets. In other words, they've got the word of God. That's the reason I mentioned my brother. Oh, yeah. The Bible's full of contradictions. I can't let that go by. I'm sorry, sir. No, ma'am. No, sir. That's not true. Amen. There may be a contradiction in my understanding. Am I standing up here to tell you I understand everything about this Bible? No, ma'am. No, sir. Neither can I stand up here and tell you I know everything about God. But what I know the Bible's true. Amen. What Jesus was telling the rich man was, if they'll listen, if your five brothers will listen to the word of God, listen to that preacher that preaches them the truth, amen, they won't have to come to an awful place called hell. I'm telling you, it's time we quit playing religious games. Hallelujah. We all love to eat and drink and be merry. And I'm telling you, it's time. Yes, sir, we got down to business with God. Quit fooling around. The torments of unfulfilled desire. Amen. Some of the fires of torment in that awful place called hell. I am tormented in this flame. Send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water. And come, who? My tongue. Amen. That torments that man that's addicted to that drug. Amen. Still craving it. But unfulfilled desire. Craving for that alcohol. Craving for that nicotine. Craving for that unfulfilled, that unsatisfied lust. They're still tormented with those unfulfilled desires in a place called hell. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. James 3:6, he talked about those set on fire of hell.
set on fire. I'm telling you, hell already is at work. Amen. Burning in the souls of men, setting them ablaze. Amen. You remember Romans 1:27, speaking of men with men, women with women, said they burned in their lust. Amen. Oh, they're burning in their lust. But just like the rich man screaming from the torments of the flames of hell, amen, their lust and their passions and their desires and their addictions are unfulfilled. Not a drop of water. There's also the fires. I'm talking about the fires of hell. There's fires of torment. There's fires of separation. What did Father Abraham tell the rich man? He said, beside all of us, beside all this, there's a great gulf fixed between us and you. We can't get to you to bring you even a drop of water. Amen. Neither can you get to us. I'm telling you, the fires of separation. Even the Bible said, unto you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. I'm telling you, brother, even some of the fires of hell are going to be fires of separation, separated from God, separated from everything good, separated from everything lovely, even everything wholesome, everything that could bring relief or bring peace or bring comfort. Sweet Holy Ghost, would you arrest our attention tonight and make hell real to us?
Need the help of the Holy Ghost. Separated from everything good. I mean, everything good about this world is God. And God, He loves you. My pastor was preaching, Brother Johnny, on about how much God loves us. He said He gave us chicken because He loves us. I'm telling you, He gave us everything in this world. All the fruits, all the goods, everything you enjoy. Amen. He gave it because He loves us. Can you imagine? Separated from that, separated from love, nobody to come and pat you on the back and say, I love you, Johnny. I love you, Sammy. Amen. I love you, Junior. I love you, Linda. Somebody to come and speak an encouraging word to you. Separated from all that. Separated. Separated from the love of God. Separated from peace. Separated from joy. Oh, shut out. Amen. Shut up in the madhouse of the universe. Great God of heaven, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. God wants to make hell real to us because He don't want anybody to go to hell. Oh, God, help us tonight. My God, if there be one lost tonight, help them to run to this altar. Make hell real to them. Make hell hot to them. Let the flames, amen, blaze up and scorch their hell-bound feet. Amen, and shake them to a reality. God, my God. Fires of separation. Separated forever. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of His power. The fires of unwanted companions. Oh, I can't stand her. I can't stand him. They get under my skin. Huh? That sound familiar? You know of anybody like that? Huh? We all do. We're human. Amen. Can you imagine going to hell with them? Can you imagine going to hell with that profane, vulgar, adulterating, whoremongering, sodomite? Amen. That serial killer, that serial rapist,
I mean, ever wicked, vile, vulgar, profane, heathen, idolatrous, demon-possessed person known to mankind going to hell with them. I'm telling you, some of the fires of hell will be the fires of unwanted companions if you end up going to hell. I read this the other day, Mr. McCartney, in his book, he said, Napoleon in Hell. In the gallery of Anton Werks at Brussels, there's a collection of the most astounding and overwhelming paintings that one will see anywhere in the world. Most of them exposing the brutality and horror of war and the cruelty of conquerors, but some of them heralding the empire of peace and the triumph of Christ. Walking down the hall where the extraordinary paintings hang, one is suddenly brought to a halt by a great painting which is entitled A View of Hell. A View of Hell. Listen. With folded arms and familiar cocked hat on his head, there stands the figure of a man. There is no name given, but there is no need, for he is at once identified as Napoleon Bonaparte. On his shadowed but remarkable face, there's a look of amazement, astonishment, and with just a trace of dread and fear as he beholds what is about him. By the light of the flames of hell burning all about him, you can see back of him the serried ranks of the slain in battle. Little children stretch out clenched fists at the emperor, and mothers with agony on their countenances surround him, holding up the bleeding, amputated arms and legs of the slaughtered. One woman, who has the head of her husband in a sack, and another carries the torso of a dead and mangled body, a raw and bloody arm severed at the shoulder is thrust close to the face of Napoleon. Over there is a naked body upheaved with a sword plunged into the abdomen. On the faces of the children, the wives, and the mothers are depicted rage, horror, anger, hate, and infinite pain and sorrow. This is terrible, horrible, you say. Yes, and that is just what Wirtz meant it to be. It is Napoleon in hell. Napoleon in hell. And I'm telling you, there's no possible expression or terms of expression for us to be able to express the horrors of hell to you tonight. I'm telling you, some of the torments of the fires of hell will be the fires of unwanted companions. Oh, ever wicked, ever vile, ever vulgar, ever profane. Oh, and then the Bible tells us about Jesus, didn't he say, depart from me? He said it was prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, the madman of the universe, the devil himself. No doubt reflected in the image of his children, you can see in people like Hitler and Stalin, Saddam Hussein, those despots, those dictators, those men that terrorized millions of people, slaughtered some of their own people. Amen. Their image is reflected. You see, Satan is their father. Satan is the one they serve. But to be there with the devil, the madman of the universe himself. The Bible gives a description. It's not science fiction. All these rock and rollers, they come up with some hideous, you know, depictions of those demons and those devils. And yeah, we're nearing Halloween, but I'm telling you, this is more than a haunted house. Yeah, we're going to go to the judgment house. Yeah, and you come out with a fright, but go on about our business unmoved and unaffected. I'm telling you, I realize tonight, Brother Finley, it takes the Holy Ghost to make it real. Even that's what I believe the psalmist had in mind when he said, the sorrows of hell have compassed me. Oh, it was the Spirit of God. It was the Holy Ghost that had made hell real to him. Amen. That put a fear of hell and a fear of God in his heart. Amen. That caused him. Amen. Yes, sir. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. I tell you, we need it back. Amen. In our school, there's a disrespect for authority. There's a disrespect for mom and dad. There's a disrespect for the teacher. There's a disrespect for the principal. Amen. A disrespect for the law enforcement. A disrespect for the pastor and those in authority. I'm telling you, brother, it's chaos in the land. What we need, once again, crime on the rise. We need the fear of hell to grip the hearts of men. My God, the church don't even fear hell anymore. It's a forgotten place. And I felt the Holy Ghost wanted to bring it to our attention here tonight. Cause us to remember hell. Fires. Amen. Of unwanted companion. There in the book of Revelation, the 9th chapter, he talks about locusts coming up out of the bottomless pit. He talked about they had bodies like horses. They had faces like men. Hair like women. Teeth like lions. They got wings that sound like many chariots running to battle. Said they've got scorpions, tails like scorpions, and they torment men 5 months. I take the Bible literally, don't you? Hey, but I believe he's just given a description. We see there how horrible a being with a beast or with a body like a beast, even a body like a horse, teeth like lions, even a tail like a scorpion. To torment men. And I believe that's going to be some of the unwanted companions. If you go to hell. Last of all. Fires of eternity. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. From the presence of the Lord. And from the glory of his power. Depart from me. Again Jesus said. Ye cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. It's not you're going to burn up. It's not you're going to get off time for good behavior. You're going to have somebody come and say enough Hail Marys for you and pray you out of purgatory. What a lie. What a lie. The Catholic Church has got multiplied millions of people believing they could pay that preacher enough. They'd get their loved one out of purgatory. What a lie. What a lie. It's forever and ever and ever. It's the powers of eternity. Everlasting fire. How long is eternity? The shoemaker working at his workbench. The clock began to swing back. An old pendulum clock began to swing back and forth. Tick, tock. Tick, tock. Tick, tock. The account said that I read, said the clock began to talk to the shoemaker. Eternity, where? Eternity, where? Eternity, where? And it so gripped the shoemaker that he fell down at his workbench and made peace with God. I'm telling you, the fires of hell are eternal. Amen. Forever and ever and ever and never get out. I tell you, one of the most powerful messages I heard the man preach, I refrained from calling his name, but he talked about the bomb they dropped on Hiroshima and those that were scorched. And it's been a long time since I heard that message. But he talked about those that survived. Amen. He talked about how badly burned they were from the radiation and the fallout of that horrible atomic bomb. And they talked about the man that they met. Over and over he said, it was hell. It was hell. It was hell. It was hell. Oh, God, Would you make it real to us tonight? I feel an urgency upon my soul. I'm telling you, we're either going to be consumed with the power of the Holy Ghost, or we're going to be consumed by the power of God's wrath and God's judgment in hell. It's not His will that anybody go to hell. If you're here tonight, you're unprepared to meet God, you ought to run to the altar. You ought not wait for us to stand up here and try to persuade you. You ought to be persuaded by God. Where is the fear of God? Thought about it. Ravenhill tells about Charlie Peace in his book, Why Revival Tarries, one of the most powerful books I've ever read. It'll stir your soul. Tells about Charlie Peace. He was a criminal against the law of God and against the laws of man, but finally the law of the land caught up with Charlie Peace. He was to be executed that morning in Leeds, England, there outside the jail. And that morning the account is given that as the minister walked before him sleepily and routinely, reading from the scripture, leading Mr. Charlie Peace to the gallows to be hanged. Mr. Charlie Peace spoke up and he said, Reverend, sir, what are you reading? He said, I'm reading the comforts of religion. He said, what do you mean, the comforts of religion? You're talking about a place called hell and that men go to hell and never get out? He said, sir, this is entitled, according to Ravenhill, Mr. Charlie Peace's On the Eve of Hell sermon. He said, sir, if I believed in a hell like you and the church claim you believe in, he said, I would walk across England, if need be, on my hands and knees on broken glass and think that if I'd save one soul from a hell like that, I'd have done a great deed. My God, I'm afraid that's about the condition the church is in. Sleepily and routinely, we go through another service. We go through another meeting, unmoved, unaffected. Amen. We go to church. The preacher preaches. We go home. That's what Christians do now. Amen. I didn't do it. I'm not involved. Amen. I go about my own little merry way. I tell you, it's time we got down to business with God. Only the Holy Ghost can help us. I've done my best. Let's stand together. Only the Holy Ghost. Would you let's invite Him right now to help us? Oh, Holy Ghost of God, would you come near in this house tonight? Lord God, we need you. Lord, make these more than just the words of a preacher. God, let your word burn. Let your word be branded upon the hearts of this congregation tonight. Lord God, save that soul that's lost. Get a hold of that backslider. Get a hold of that lukewarm soul that's not ready, that's not living where they need to live, playing at religion, playing a little religious game. God, help us tonight. Stir us. Get a hold of us. Change us, Lord. Holy Ghost, make it real to us. Only you can. Come on, church, let's ask Him. Oh, would you slip your hand up and ask God to send the Holy Ghost? Send it on down, Lord. Let the Holy Ghost come on down, Lord. Let the Holy Ghost grip our hearts. Make it real to us, God. More than just something we've heard all of our life. More than another sermon. More than another Sunday school lesson. More than another song. Hell is an awful, awful place. Oh, Lord, I want to go to heaven because hell is an awful, awful place. You feel like seeking the Lord? Come on. You feel like seeking the Lord tonight? Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call you upon Him while He's near. Oh, God, would you come? Let's come. Let's get a hold of God.
And my bright, shining angel, and stood on the land and the sea, sworn with his hand raised. Yeah.